This is an account of a camping holiday of 2 years ago, and may explain why we haven't camped since. It's entitled Holiday from Hell and Books from Heaven. Early morning. Dog woke me up, deciding that I'm the last best hope for dogdom, demanding its playtime. With grace and goodwill to all dogs, you'd think. I took her outside to the will definitely be finished in June patio building side. Will not mention that still working on patio 2 years later, because readers will think this is a bad thing. On the way, greeted by son's spare best friend, who is sitting in the kitchen on Facebook, even though it's not even 6 a.m, and was last seen rolling in at nearly 1 a.m. to have singing with son. Friends and son had spent the entire day at the Bristol Harbour Festival listening to music and looking at boats. They then decided to have a sing-in while wife and I magic up 4 extra beds and bedding with chicken salad, pizza and a choice of Italian beers for them. Reminded son again that he was lucky to have just liberal parents and got a kiss and a hug saying I was the best dad ever. Made clearing up the puke 5 minutes later worthwhile. Anyway, decided not to try and work out why, son's spare best friend on laptop, not singing, except as an adolescent boy assumed default motive is unrequited love. Went back to bed for an hour and read more of Special Topics in Calamity Physics by Marcia Pessel, which I'm thoroughly enjoying for its wonderful use of language and mad dash storytelling. Yesterday. It was holiday time, and we'd been planning and discussing the August camp month in Cornwall, under the famous open sky by the Roaring Sea, campsite for a year. So naturally it came as a complete shock to wife and son that it was August already, and so yesterday, after days of meticulous planning by wife, camping equipment was scattered throughout the house and garden. The crisis was such that wife's best friend arrived to help sort out the tents and cooking stove and serving table, inflatable bed and pump, table chairs, lamps, heater, cool box, etc. into working order. To help in the task, a preparatory hour or so was coffee, cakes and all men are bastards conversations with wife's best friend non-existent love life. I would have helped, but you have to let the ladies have their own way. So ignored when wife shouted up from the garden, "This is how you should pack up a ground sheet." Apparently, putting it into a shopping bag wasn't good enough. Seeing they needed my help, I went down to give some helpful advice to wife and wife's best friend, as they'd wandered off from sorting camping equipment to wondering if bricks in the corner of the patio steps should be recycled or new in terms of the overall colour ambience. My helpful comment of stick to the task and who gives a flying flamingo, or words to that effect, about brick colours were ignored. Honestly, what can a man do? Will not mention that still working on patio 2 years later, etc., etc. Later morning. Son's spare best friend and others deposited at station, as a 10-minute walk far too odious, and then back to pack. We drove off in glorious sunshine in 2 cars for some deeply unknown reason. A camping trip for free needs 2 very full cars. Commenting that them at number 42 take family tent, child tents, associated equipment, 2 adults and 4 kids in a single mini is ignored by all, as is my helpful pointing out to examples of all houses stuffed into single cars as we drive in convoy down the motorway. Crossed into Cornwall, greeted by Armageddon storms, gloom, etc., so felt need to put on a brave Dunkart spirit face on, as thoughts turned to famous open sky by the Roaring Sea campsite. Afternoon and early evening. Once arrived, we have 2 field choices. The glorious open flat field with prairie-like sky and views of Atlantic rollers, or the camel-like hill overspill site with views of main road and farm buildings. Naturally, each year we bribe, bluster and steal to get on to the main site. The cunning plan B this year was to have a three-man throw-up-in-the-air tent so we could camp anywhere while bribing, blustering or stealing a prime mine site. But on arrival, we found a prime space immediately. Vague worry of why ignored. So plan A went into action. The ground sheet down in seconds, etc. for mansion-light tent. But days of meticulous planning meant that we'd arrive with no tent frame rods or spikes to hold down tent ties down. The throw-up-in-the-air tent plan floundered also on fact that may have fitted 3 10-year-olds, but once wife, dog and me in, son had no chance, so he threw a tantrum. Wife then had tantrum that no one listens to her. She didn't want to be next to a friend of a neighbour in case things got back. And son had a second tantrum, discovering that wife's just the one glass friend was coming down with her son the week son's girlfriend was coming. So I had a tantrum, as this meant to be my break as well, and I work 2 jobs and this is the thanks I get, etc, etc. We all took deep breaths and thought of plan C. This was to buy a second emergency throw-up tent for son, so mad dashed the local store for tent and supplies. Due to days of meticulous planning, we had managed to arrive with no cooking equipment or plates or cutlery. Friend of a friend of a neighbour wondered why we hadn't used our infantry planning list. We didn't. Back from the dash, we managed to rustle up food under a blue sky as the sun sank into the sea, creating golden clouds. So bliss and harmony were restored, so much so that the new throw-up tent being 5 foot 5 inches, blow-up bed being 5 foot 6 inches, and sun being 5 foot 10 inches were cheerfully glossed over. As was the fact that days of meticulous planning had resulted in 1 paraffin lamp with no wick, 2 battery lamps with no batteries, and 3 gas lamps with no gas or matches. Late evening and night time. Son played guitar, wife found new campsite best friend to chat to, and I managed to finish off Connie Willis's To Say Nothing as a dog. Review pending as it's not the most hilarious, etc. as claimed. As the darkness fell and the gentle noises of children playing, we retired to bed to fall into innocent sleep. For all of 10 minutes before the tent door next door opened up to the competition of who can make the longest and frillest girly conversation giggle. We decided that after 2.5 hours of this that Lucy had won hands down. As part of the competition was to tell others by name to shut up. Drifting off to sleep at midnight, we were woken up 10 minutes later again by lads and lasses of the next door caravan having a drunken roll in the mud and let us find Leroy game. Why Leroy was lost we never discovered, but from their voices we would guess he was sleeping off 10 pints in some ditch somewhere. All too tired to have a tantrum, and as we're English, didn't go out to complain, don't like to make a fuss. Foreigners, read Ellen Bennett's writing at home to make sense of our behaviour. So we put pillows over ears and fell back into an exhausted sleep. Second day morning. The next day it was decided that I would do the 10-hour round trip to bring back tent rain rods, tent pikes, cooking and eking equipment, gas bottles, matches, etc., that previous days of meticulous planning had overlooked, while son and wife went surfing on sun-kissed beaches. Wife had managed to charm way onto a better prime pitch with new neighbours at end of field with prairie-like sky and views. ATA was and what needed to be done to make sure they would be ready for putting the tent up, only to find that my arrival was a complete surprise to wife and son, as I'd been unclear. Second day, late evening and night time. Wife's request that we leave it all up to a nice ex-boy scout next door was overruled by son and me. Son then had a logic tantrum, as the instructions were not clear, so I took charge and ignored wife's helpful request that we ask the nice ex-scout, and we got the tent up with the advice of the next nice ex-scout. Just in time for the wannabe tropical storm, so it's down to Padstow for a gentle stroll around the arbour and a pub meal, so much joy and bliss, and back to a night's sleep rocked by the sea breaking on the beach. Third day. The next day, wife and son went off surfing, and I got down to reading. After unloading the cars, setting up the kitchen, putting the clothes in the changing room partition, the stores in the stores partition, the why did we bring this in the now spare throw-me-up tent store? Are you still wondering why we needed two cars? Then a cup of tea to read an utterly impartial history of Britain, which so impressed me that it was swapped before I even got home. Later, as night fell, wearing woolen Tibetan ear-flat hat, two jumpers, jean with thick socks and wellies, red to a dim gas flame as son plays guitar and wife moans that none of us will play board games. Not that we can barely hear each other as the Atlantic falls on tent. My helpful comments that you don't come to Cornwall for a Mediterranean holiday is ignored. Fourth day. Blissful morning for me is managed to read and complete 52 Ways of Looking at a Poem by Ruth Patel, and even write a 50-word poem based on what I've learnt so far. Now 2 years later, very sniffy about its construction, etc. The only distraction were three teenage boys marching in step around the field, with one of them bare-chested, except for his sister's, one assumes, white bra. At each tent, he would pull it away from his chest and leer. Kept them amused for hours. Wife, son, and falling Atlantic came back, so drove in hours of shower-force rain, so we could walk around in grey towns, in grey rain, with lots of lost grey people. We did buy rainbow umbrellas, guaranteed by the shop that they don't blow out, but lost receipt as they blew out and away on opening up. Those are now hot water bottles. My still helpful remarks that you don't come to Cornwall for a Mediterranean holiday resulted in some forceful words from wife and son. Fifth day. Spent most of the night trying to sleep through a punk rock drum rolls of the rain, and woke to find inner room floor flooded. Long discussion with wife and son why they won't go to the beach and surf, as you don't come to Cornwall, etc., etc. And they had the nerve to accuse me that I wanted peace and quiet to read. I mean, really. So yet more driving in grey rain, etc. Except it picked up and we got a wood-burning patio stove to keep us warm and came back to have a vegan barbie in the blue skies and warm sunshine. As a car passenger, managed to read and finish off The Sound of Laughter by Peter Kay, a popular northern working-class comic. Funny, but why does one man experiencing the shitty working-class life becomes a comic, whilst another becomes a political rival? I also managed to start It's Superman by Tom D'Avon, which has proved to be a great read. As arrived, wondered with son and wife why the field campsite is so empty. Sixth day morning. Discovered why field was empty at 5 a.m. when tent robs broke under the strain of a 60-mile-an-hour gale, and we had to pack the tents etc. away in the midst of waterfall rain and high winds. Ex-boy scout was surprised we didn't have spare tent rods, pointed out that did we look like a family that packed spare tent rods? He agreed, as they were a family that did days of meticulous planning. We then discovered that easy throw-ups in the air tents are not easy put-away tents. Those of the campsite not chasing theirs, as the rain and the wind would allow, helped us push it back into the appropriate case. And then, soaked and hungry, we crawled home. Kept mine occupied and our best to sell camping equipment, as tantrums were ever helpfully mentioned. You don't come to Cornwall for a Mediterranean holiday.